This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That was Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show this morning. Or as Ted Johnson would say, words, 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 words.
Lots of words in front of each other and behind each other.
Nerdington.
Coupled up with other words.
I know you said I shouldn't say this anymore. I think you alluded to that, though. The old football phrase of don't tell me about the pain, just show me the baby.
Yep.
He
yep.
just keeps talking about the pain. Yep. There's no baby. There was never a baby. He's whining about pain and pain, contractions, and you're like, you're not even pregnant. There's no baby coming.
One of my favorite expressions that you just don't hear anymore.
You just don't. Yep. But I think in the new world, you can bring it back. Between commercials about genes and everything, there's a lot going on
in the
politics and the world around us. But I'll tell you where there's not a lot going on, and that's... The Red Sox trade deadline, where we were disappointed to get a back-of-the-rotation starter in Dustin May, who's been pushed back out of his originally scheduled Sunday start, which I actually think might be a good thing for the Red Sox this weekend, and Steven Matz, who will probably pitch tonight or tomorrow in long relief when the starter is out of the game.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah. We going to remember these names in 3 years, Fitzy? Or are we going to be like, that stupid deadline, those stupid guys that didn't help them?
Dustin May? Oh, yeah. When we mentioned, like, hey, remember when the Red Sox traded for that starter that had 7 surgeries and he actually never pitched for them down the stretch? Yeah. He actually looks like one of the O'Doyle kids from Billy Madison as well. Just like even his baseball card looks like he's as miserable to be heading to the Red Sox as Red Sox fans are to have him as, quote, the priority acquisition at the deadline.
Kind of like the O'Doyle family, I got the feeling that he and his entire baseball team are going down in the next couple months, but I don't want to be pessimistic.
What an excellent pull by you. Now you're all in big, big trouble.
That's right.
You know how we talked about Danny Jansen leading up to the trade deadline?
Yeah.
God forbid you have another deadline where you add a player like Danny Jansen. That's going to be how we remember these two poor guys
who did not
earn this reputation, but you're kind of looped into it right now.
Yeah, what we wanted was a Robles and a Schwarber, and instead we got a Jansen and a Matz.
I do feel bad for the individual guys. I do feel bad for them because, like, they didn't do anything to deserve this. They were just a pawn in a game. Like, they got traded. They're going to go out there. They'll try to pitch their best. It's just the situation is unfortunate. We expected more. We deserved more. I'm going to say that. I think that's fair to say. We deserved more than this. For the amount of hours, as James in Houston said, that we put in watching this damn baseball club and the faith that people like Ted Johnson. He went to 559.59 yesterday thinking Craig Breslow was going to do something. And then he finally had to say, yeah, I kind of took it on the chin yesterday. I believe that's how you started our email today.
I did. Yep.
You acknowledged you took it on the chin.
I trusted the wrong people.
You know
Shame
what?
On me. You know what? And that's, I should have learned my lessons.
Trust no one.
Trust nobody.
Life is better when you trust no one. That's probably not true. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Tom in Framingham. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you guys? No, I agree with you guys 100%. I was listening to you, yesterday until 6 o'clock, and I was like, really? Like, really? You're like, nothing's going to happen. But, you know, as furious as we can be, at Breslow and John Henry, I think, you know, now's the time to back this team more than anything. More than any other time, because in the end, as a Red Sox fan, you go to the games, because, you want to watch the players. And this team, it might be crazy, but they're kind of giving me, 2018 Red Sox vibes. It's crazy. But I think the players truly love each other, and the airplane arms and just everything like that. It's truly a lovable team that, I don't think that we can give up on just yet.
All right, thanks for the call, Tom. That's a different. Interestingly, we went into that saying trust no one. Tom kind of took that the whole other direction.
He did.
Love this team.
You know what, Tom? Good way to refocus us. Maybe
love them.
We had our eye off the ball. I'll tell you this, Tom. I will do that when I see how the players respond to what's just happened. If the players respond in a positive manner, and they don't let this, and the manager does, and they don't go into the tank mentally, then I go, okay, let's go. But I want to wait and see how they react to what's happened here in the next few games, and before I decide whether or not I just want to jump back on the bandwagon.
Well, they're going to try their asses off, Ted, but the problem is you've got a team that over the last half decade has consistently underwhelmed and underperformed in August, basically with a losing record every August since we got into the 2020s, and that kind of rides tandem with the fact that they seem to do nothing or get caught with their blank in their hand every trade deadline.
That's an interesting approach, Ted, though, like Tom brings up. Like, love them. You still love Roman Anthony, right?
I do.
You still love Jaren Duran?
I do.
Rafaela?
Big fan.
Right? Like, there's a lot of guys you still love in that lineup. You still love Crochet, Bayo, Chapman, whatever. There's still even though we didn't get any additions, I argued with Dan a week and a half ago, whatever it was, can they make the playoffs if nothing is done? And right. I said yes.
You did.
The problem is I started to talk myself into wanting to do more than make the playoffs because I think they can still make the playoffs, although I do need to get to the show poll.
You see what the latest baseball reference has their odds at making the playoffs?
Yeah.
Since the trade deadline?
Strangely good, right?
Strangely improved by 2%.
Well, that's different than our...
So it's up to 71%. That's odds of making it.
Don't trust the nerds. That's what I always say.
I asked on at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons, our show poll today, following a very disappointing trade deadline, do you believe the Red Sox will make the playoffs? 56% said no. 44% said yes. So a majority of Red Sox fans voting in that poll said no. And I would vote that same way because I don't trust what you just brought up, Ted, how the players are going to react, how the manager is going to react, because if history is any indication, they're going to have a losing August. They lose every August. They have a losing record every August. In part, it seems, a reaction to the trade deadline. And Craig Breslow said it. He called players last night to tell them, I tried to do more. You know why he did that? Because he's worried that he's going to lose his clubhouse and lose his team and lose the focus and energy of his players. Yep. And that was a preemptive strike, whether it works or not. And I do think the other guy that's in the crosshairs is your guy, Alex Cora. Like, this is why he's paid the big bucks, literally, because... Excuse me. He needs to react to the emotion of his ball club. He's talked about it, right? Managing personalities and players and emotions and all of those things. So, actually, let's hear from that man. Alex Cora spoke with the media just moments ago as he reacts to the MLB trade deadline.
You know, it's crazy, to be honest with you. You know, it was fun to watch. You know, I didn't have to make decisions and all that. I was just sitting on the couch and looking at people, but it was a good learning experience.
What was the last hour like in particular?
If it feels like that, you know, like, I mean, like social media, like very fast, you know, and then you got the network and all of that. You're like, holy shoot, this is, you know, like the last 5 minutes is like, wow, you know, New Year's Eve. No.
So when you saw the social post and you got Joe Ryan, you said,
hey. I didn't see that one.
All right.
Bro, I knew more. I knew more than John.
It wasn't John's fault.
No, it was...
John said...
It was the guy behind the...
It was the guy retweeting somebody else.
It's like, you guys write an article, then the other guy is the headline. I know that. I know how it works.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I know how it works. We get mad at you, but it's the guy on the desk that makes it worse. We're good.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora meeting with the media for the first time since yesterday's trade deadline. I do think it's notable here on WEEI Afternoons that our own Dan Ball believes Alex Cora has a future in the front office, and he admitted that he was in the room for the first time after Bregman's birthday party. One of Bregman's kids had a birthday party, stopped by to see what was happening, and he wouldn't say what he'd learned. He'll keep it to himself for his future.
What did you learn? What did you learn?
We had it here first, folks. That's all I'll say on that matter.
Yep. He learned that when he takes over next year or the year after in that front office, it's really hectic in that last hour before the trade deadline. I thought that was interesting. A couple other takeaways. I was scribbling notes here. The old reporter in me. He let off as he always, we're a good baseball team. Like, that's his message. He's always going to tell his players, good baseball team. But he did say they have a shot at the division. They like their chances against anybody.
Says we're a better team now.
Better baseball team now. More complete than we've been in recent years was something he said.
1% better now?
Well, that's better. I mean, we can parse words, but he says they're better.
Okay.
Unlike Fitzy, he didn't fall for the banana in the tailpipe of Joe Ryan. He didn't see that, but he was aware of it.
Now I'm the one under the Yahoo Sports bus, huh?
Yep, it's your voice that everybody heard.
That's fine.
So I thought those were interesting. And then one little side nugget. Somebody asked him, Tanner Houck or Marcelo Meyer, holding out hope for either.
Marcelo.
He said no for Houck, but he said maybe, if anybody, Marcelo Meyer. There's more opinions being had there. So that's the first indication I've had that he could be back, because I'll be honest, I was assuming he was done.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I still am.
I am.
With this, whatever this extra opinion is via Zoom before they make a decision. So a lot of interesting nuggets there from Alex Cora. Meeting with the media here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk about that next. Back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Do you feel better about the Red Sox, about the trade deadline after listening to the manager? I asked who's going to be the face man, the front man to come out, make us feel better and not just say words, words, words. That's Alex Cora. They're a better baseball team. They're a good baseball team. They're better positioned than they've been in recent years heading into August. Do you believe him? 617-779-7937. We will also, in the next hour at some point, talk to Will Fleming. I believe he'll still be joining us in studio. But right now, we have Dan Ball with...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's trending? Ooh, that was Alex Cora with an optimistic perspective, as he is wont to do.
Really?
Yeah.
All the time? Every 40?
Most of the time.
I think some people expected him to be a little negative Nancy.
No.
And he has been in the past.
At times. And sometimes he can be a little bit more negative Nancy behind off mic. Right? Like, you may see his mood differently in the dugout or just in the totality being around the team.
Yep.
And then you heard a little snippet of Ken Rosenthal there, who was, let's just say, not impressed by what the Red Sox did at the trade deadline, as is the case with most of us. We've been taking your calls all afternoon, and we did have early on the strange Joe call saying, like, Breslow's doing a great job. Didn't you see the offseason? He's doing everything. He's awesome.
There's no way he could have meant it, right?
Was that Breslow? Was it like a cousin or something? Well,
but you know what he referenced? It was odd to me. It was the Rafi Devers trade, and I thought, you think Breslow had anything to do with the Rafi Devers trade?
That was personal. That was John Henry.
That was John Henry.
He flew to Kansas City, and he said, you're dead to me. You'll never play for me again.
Come on, man.
But since then, it's been primarily...
Breslow would never have made that trade unless the owner told him to make that trade.
Well, yeah, because Rafi would have said no, and Breslow would have said, okay, sorry.
But Bregman coming here was more of a core thing than it was Breslow.
No, all he gets credit for, crochet deal, then he got the extension done, although a lot of that is also John Henry signing off on doing the extension, and Aroldis Chapman, although I've also told you there, I think they signed him to be a setup man, not the closer. I think Hendricks was supposed to be the closer, so they sort of stumbled into that one there, an all-star closer. So, all right, maybe he's not as good as we thought in the offseason. Dan Ball, yes.
But guys, good news is Quinn Priester is only 9-0, I think, over his last 10 or 12 starts with an ERA.
Yeah, that wasn't great. At a time, it looked like they had an abundance of starting pitching. Remember the six-man rotation? They were going to have a six-man rotation back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now they had a four-man rotation until they got Dustin May, and they can slide him in there, and Cooper Criswell. Yes, Dan Ball?
Just quickly, he has made a couple of second and third-tier moves to add depth to the organization, which I think deserves some credit. And
Narvaez?
That's one. Okay, that was the first one. Okay. He's now my Mason Miller, and I will put my hand up for that. But... the one thing that a big market GM has to do that he is not capable of doing is make the big move. So that's why you get to the trade deadline, and he's not capable of doing it. So your second and third tier moves, I trust Craig Breslow. His computer spits out, this guy has potential, and I will take it. But the big move, that top tier guy that's established already, can't trust him on that.
Also was supposedly, reportedly, purportedly, whatever you want to call it, whatever word, the reason he's here. Because Chaim Bloom couldn't do that. Chaim Bloom got anxious and couldn't pull the trigger in the Chris Sale deal a couple of years ago, various moves along the way. And Breslow, in his introductory press conference, talked a good game in that area. He talked about having assets and pulling the trigger and acquisitions. Yep. I remember he said the term acquisitions many, many times. Well, Yesterday, he did not have a lot of acquisitions. There was a good question in there. I don't know if it was Alex Spear. It was like, when you look around and pretty much everyone else added at least three players that's around you in the standings in the American League, and Cora batted it down and stayed positive, as he will do. But yeah, we do need to get to this John Heyman thing, because you got a little snippet of it there. John Heyman was not Ken Rosenthal. Sorry.
There we go.
I got my no stiz. I'm not calling for something out of nowhere. I just flubbed the name. Ken Rosenthal, who we talked about previously, has written some columns about the Red Sox. Very critical, very biting, almost like it's personal, or there's a specific agenda, or almost like he's just a local columnist. Like, his name is Dan Shaughnessy.
Right.
And he's all fired up. But Ken Rosenthal, like us, did not like what the Red Sox did at the trade deadline.
Epic fail. Comes off an epic fail last year's deadline with Craig Breslow, and this was an epic fail as well. Now, again, they met the same problem that the Cubs ran into. Joe Ryan is another starting pitcher who wasn't traded, but my understanding is any talks that they had with the Twins were feeble at best. They didn't come at them hard. The Red Sox are one of many teams that uses modeling and tries to figure out what the best values are, and it's all about efficiency and getting the best deal and this and that and the other thing. At some point, you've got to fire. It's the same thing we're saying with the Cubs. And they did not even address first base, which I know they've gotten decent work out of Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro, but my goodness, that was a position where they had to act. They tried for Suarez, Eugenio Suarez, and they tried with the idea of playing him at first base, didn't get him. Didn't get a starter other than Dustin May, who has not been a very successful starter for the Dodgers. And in their bullpen with Steven Matz, he's a swing guy, he can be effective, but my goodness, they needed more. This is a team that is on the rise. And again, they may say, oh, we're going to be better next year. Our young guys will be that much better. Yeah, that's what the Orioles were saying a year ago. There is no guarantee in this sport or any other. So the Red Sox, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And there's going to be some people in Boston, a lot of people in Boston, questioning what the heck they did.
Did I mention I used to play the game?
You did.
Believe me, I get it.
No, you don't. That was very good. There was a lot packed. First of all, the multiple "my goodness" is in there. He said that twice, and the allusion to the Orioles, who were the youngest, coolest, hottest team in baseball. The future is bright. It's kind of the Dan Marino thing. Oh, we'll get there again. How many Super Bowls am I going to go to? It doesn't matter if I don't win the first time I go. You can't assume.
Yeah, and they fired their manager after the first 30
games? Yes, yes, they did. And this team is in position because Alex Cora is right. The one part that isn't really opinion, when he looks across from his seat, he always talks about it, Fenway Park to the Green Monster, he sees the standings right there. Yep, you're in third place. You could move into second place pretty easily. Yep. You're in the wild card. You're in a good position as we start August. Where will you be when we finish August?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That is. And I think for Breslow, what's my feeling is that this is a very difficult time of year for him. Just the last 2 years. You look at I could ask Dan to name off all the trades they made last year, but we don't need to do that. It was underwhelming.
Yes.
This year so far, it feels underwhelming. Yep. And it's like, you know what? Whenever there's a time constraint and pressure and you got to pull the trigger and you don't have months and months like you do before the season starts, it's a whole different level of pressure to negotiate and to execute deals. And my feeling is, he's just not going to be very good at making trade deadline moves.
He's not off to a good start, and certainly he had the expectation that he was going to be better than Chaim Bloom. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines, and I'm just going to read what it says in front of me. We're going to go to Riff in Seawright. What's up, Riff in Seawright?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's good.
So when I saw tonight's lineup with Abraham Toro batting cleanup, my first thought was that's Cora's way of saying to Breslow, your uncomfortably aggressive approach sucks. that should be Josh Naylor. Mm. That should be Eugenio Suarez. That should be Ryan O'Hearn batting cleanup, not Abraham Toro.
That's an interesting perspective, Riff. You could add Yandy Diaz in there. There were bats available. That's the one thing. There were some big bats that could have solved their issues much easier than some of the starting pitching, more obviously.
Let me ask all of you guys a question. We'll ask Will Fleming this. Did the Red Sox screw up by leaving all the guys on the big boy club off the table?
Yes.
Unavailable?
Yes.
Should those guys have been at least available for options in a trade?
You trying to win now?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're trying to win now and improve your baseball club, don't remove almost anybody from the conversation. You and I talked about this yesterday. If we got news that it was Joe Ryan, and then I found out, oh, Jarren Duran was in the trade, what would I do? Well, I would be happy. I would react for a minute. I would sort of do some math in my head, like this part is better, this part's worse. And one thing I don't think people take into account enough, you have Christian Campbell. So if you traded Jarren Duran and you're like, ah, we're kind of down a bat, I thought Christian Campbell was part of your future. Bring him up. He's raking now in Worcester. Yep. So he's gotten hot again. He's not still in that slump. Or the password, the other kid, bring him up. Like, there's options.
What do you think, Dan? Do you think they should have at least had some of the guys on the big
Absolutely. Club? You have log jams everywhere. You have too many infielders for the four spots because you have Meyer, and to your point, you have Campbell, you have Casas coming back, and then below them you have Arias and Romero and all these other prospects that they didn't want to part with. In the outfield, you have four guys that play outfield, and then you have the password. You also have Yoshida and Ref Snyder. Like, there are too many good players that are floating around the Boston Red Sox, but not enough great players. So absolutely, if you could have consolidated some of your talent and brought in a guy that actually helps you compete in October versus the aggregate of two or three guys that helps you be a good regular season team, I'm doing that every single day.
Fitzy, what do you think?
I would have tried to offer Willie Abreu first because I still value Jarren Duran, even with his stats that aren't as good or with the power numbers that Abreu has. Because I think the intangibles that Jarren Duran brings and what Rob Bradford reminded us of his emotional and motivational quotient to the team means a little bit more. But I would have led with Abreu and a very heavy package of prospects. Because if you are looking to offload one of your all-star-ish outfielders in the offseason, what is a best-case scenario lead you to? Trading one of them for a starting pitcher. So if one of them could get you a starting pitcher now, then unfortunately you probably do have to. As much as I would be hesitant to do so, I would lead with one of those guys in a package rich enough to land you a potential Cy Young level number two starter.
And I get that there would probably be some emotional backlash in that clubhouse, which, by the way, there's going to be emotional backlash to nothing being done in that clubhouse today. And I would also remind you that we are very simple human beings. We get caught up in the moment. We'd be mad Jarren Duran was gone. And then the first time Joe Ryan left the mound at Fenway Park after pitching seven scoreless innings and the crowd is standing and going nuts, we'd all be like, wait, who was that guy that used to play left field and center field? There was like some guy we liked, but this guy seems pretty cool when he's pitching out here.
You really think Mad would have been the reaction from fans if you traded Duran? If that was the return. Like trading him for prospects is one thing. No.
Oh yeah, that would be. Niche. I'd be mad about that.
Yeah,
too.
For sure.
No, I do think that he's a very popular guy.
Okay.
Both in the clubhouse and outside the clubhouse, I think there are a lot. Like we had somebody, Tim Healy, was like they sell a lot of jerseys. He's very popular.
Sure.
He's the number one jersey seller right now.
The young fans like Jarren Duran quite a bit, and I think there would be an immediate, oh no, we did it again. We lost another one of my favorite players. We traded away Mookie. We lost Bogart. All those things, and that would be fixed if Joe Ryan pitched like Joe Ryan can. Now, if Joe Ryan doesn't live up to the hype, if Joe Ryan's not good, now you got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, of course.
But
that's taking a risk, which is what you're supposed to be doing.
And especially when you have a chance. Like, this is, you know what this example is? It's like when you're in the race. You ever watch those movies like Fast and Furious and they push the, what is that, nitrous. Something?
Yep.
Like, you're in the race and then you need that little extra burst to win the race. And there's a little risk involved because that stuff can blow up and blow your car out. You could lose steering. But you've put yourself in position to win this race. Yep. Press the nitrous and hit the finish line and win. They didn't do that.
The top-selling Red Sox jersey is currently Jarren Duran.
Jarren Duran. Yeah, that does not surprise me.
12th overall in MLB.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. But guess what? I don't care about jersey sales. I care about World Series. I care. You're right. They do. They shouldn't. You know where you can sell a lot of jerseys? When you play longer.
Well,
and if you're playing playoff series, I bet you sell more jerseys in the playoffs. Mm. And then if you play in the World Series, and then you can put a special patch on them, and you make them buy a new jersey that says World Series 2025 on it, and now you can make more money. Winning solves every flipping problem. Yes. Financial, popularity, ratings. So win at all costs.
What's the first commercial after a Super Super Bowl, a World Series, anything. It's Fanatics.
Oh, absolutely. The Red Sox, yes. Get your Series gear now. World Champions. Gear. It's all of it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Winning makes you popular. Winning
great minds
sells.
Think alike. There you go.
Winning makes money. 617-779-7937. Are you optimistic about the Red Sox, not just tonight, but over the second half of the season? I can answer for you. 56% in the poll today said they do not believe the Red Sox will make the playoffs, even though they are in the playoffs right now, if they started today. Alex Cora, optimistic. Most of the rest of the reactions to the trade deadline are a little bit negative. We'll see where our buddy Will Fleming falls on that spectrum. He can be a very emotional, reactionary guy. We all know that if you've listened to a call here on WEEI. Will Fleming will join us in the next half hour or so here at Fenway Park, WEEI Afternoons. We'll also have the drive at 5. That's all next here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, afternoons.
Okay. Words, words, words.
Yeah, that was words in response to a question about trading Rafi Devers early. Could they have held on to him, gotten more at the trade deadline? Something that the Red Sox themselves have acknowledged. And then he goes into, like, we're winning seasons matter and there's value in those and we're doing them. Are you doing as much as you can? Are you? I know you keep saying you did as much as you can last night. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Because if you did as much as you can, you'd have something to show for it.
He said, look, if Andy, you were in the room with him last night, you would have saw how hard he was working on the behalf of the Red Sox and that you would have been impressed with how hard he worked, even though he came away with nothing.
Oh, I think I would have seen him taking phone calls, sending emails, texting. I'm sure there was what Alex Cora was referring to, like chaos. But you didn't bear any fruit. I said it earlier. You think people should use the phrase more. Don't tell me about the pain. Yeah. Just show me the baby. There's no baby.
Right.
In fact, we found out you weren't even close to being pregnant. You just put on a little ugly weight.
Oh, bro.
Craig Breslau.
Brutal.
That got descriptive.
It did get a little descriptive.
Do I sound like the kind of guy who would make things up?
So when you listen to...
Yes, Breslau.
When you guys listen here on WEEI Afternoons, and we're going to go around the table on this. When you listen to Craig Breslau talk, do you usually feel better or worse about the situation afterwards, Ted Johnson?
Yeah, I feel worse. I mean, he has a bit, just his tone is an inauthentic tone.
Yeah.
And so it's naturally going to be, I'm going to take everything he says with skepticism.
So Fitzy, when Craig Breslau speaks, do you feel better or worse?
It's calculated and too measured for me. I don't think that he has genuine emotional upheavals. But then again, the passionate guy that we talk to on a regular basis has also finessed the truth with us a couple times. So I'm not sure who I should feel better about hearing from the Red Sox at all.
Dan Ball?
Significantly worse.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the only person currently in the Red Sox frontward-facing organization that I feel better hearing from, or at least neutral, is Alex Cora.
Right.
That's it.
And you're right. All of them deserve blame for not getting the job done. On different levels. You know, we blamed Cora for his relationship with Devers. Could that have played out differently if you had played that differently? Whatever, the trade deadline, different things. But at least Cora answers questions, seems to care, seems to have a human nature to him. And I know we're the rump swabs that talk to him each week and whatever. I'll bear that cross. Because everybody lies in sports. Everybody. They all make a living off of it, right? Like, that's just... it's part of the job. They have to lie because there's certain negotiations and layers. Brad Stevens, you mentioned him earlier, Ted, I believe it was you, that said, you know, Brad Stevens, the way he talks, or maybe it was one of the callers.
It's one of the callers.
He lies to us. That's fine. Like, I know he can't tell. If he told us everything, he'd have no leverage. He'd be a bad negotiator. He'd be a bad guy to make trades and things of that nature. But he at least comes off with some sense of genuine nature. Like... and again, maybe this is just because he won a title and he's winning games and he's got a more talented roster and he's earned a little cachet. I just, this whole nerds level thing with Breslau is off-putting. It feels like he doesn't have connection with the fan base. I guess that's how I would say it. And with me, I consider myself a fan. I'll be in those seats tonight booing, just like a good fan.
Wait, don't immediately start booing. Get, at least wait until you're incentivized or have a reason. The season isn't over. And guess what? If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. Give the, like, don't take out your, I ask you, I ask your family, I ask the entirety of whoever's going to be there tonight, of course, unless you're in an Astros jersey. Then if so, you know, GFY.
A lot of those.
But honestly, I think it would be wrong for Red Sox fans to preemptively boo and show frustration with the inactivity of the organization at the deadline, because the players themselves will take it on the chin, and that sucks.
They should have like almost like a stunt double for Craig Breslow, like a different, like someone who looks like him but talks
a
totally
dummy?
Different.
Burn him in effigy outside you the stadium. I mean?
Like the this town doesn't need a general manager for the Boston Red Sox to talk like he talks.
Right.
You need just a more blue collar kind of authentic, real front man, because he just comes across really poorly, I think, in this town. Considering how people think and operate, and it just comes off as tone deaf and lacks self-awareness.
And all that being said, if he traded for Joe Ryan, we'd be like, I love how he speaks.
Well, that's the thing about Theo Epstein, right? Like, he talked like a nerd, but then he went out and made every move that made you a champion. So talk to me and nerd him as much as you want. If
same
you make
with
those
Belichick.
Kind of moves.
You, Andy, you're the clubhouse leader of people like, oh, the way Belichick treated you people, you loved it when they won and you hated it when he lost.
Well, no, I always hated it. I just... You won, and you got to respect the winning and the credentials and the success.
What would you rather have? A doctor with good bedside manner that can explain to you how things work and the way medicine you know, flows through your body? Or have some research clinician go, well, actually, on day 19 of the control. No, you need somebody with bedside manner. Breslow doesn't have any.
Well, no, I don't need the breads. I was going the exact opposite way you landed that plane there. I was with you on your little comparison. Like, the example I thought of, remember that show House that used to be on Fox? And the guy was kind of an a-hole. Kind of
it was never lupus, show. By the way.
Oh, the doctor?
Couldn't even,
phenomenal.
But what did he do in the end? He always solved the problem that no other doctor could. He would treat you like an a-hole sometimes. Yep, yep. And he was, like, arrogant. And, you know why he was arrogant? Because he was good.
Yeah.
And he knew it.
He was also high on Vicodin. But
okay, that's fine. He also cured.
Hugh Laurie. What a legend.
You cure me, that's all I care about. You can treat me like a dink.
Side note, that actor, have you ever heard his real?
Yes, yes. It's off-putting.
Hugh Laurie, he's very
British. What? It's off-putting?
Like,
what do you mean?
That people can do that. There's a disconnect for me. I just assume the voice is the voice. You know that?
Yeah.
And then I realize, oh, that's why he's an actor.
But don't you know, I realize there's just way more talented people than me.
I guess that's a better way to put it. Yes. I just assume you kind of talk the way you talk, and then, you know, you can tweak it a little bit. But when somebody can have a totally different voice that you see hour upon hour, it's amazing. But that's why they are talented and actors and make millions. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone call. So Ron in New Hampshire, I think he wants to yell at us. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, can I ask you to do me a favor?
You got it, Ron. What do you got?
Sure.
What I got is that, you know, when you get a hot topic or create one and it works, that's great.
Excuse me.
But when you have someone who's been listening since the days of Andelman and Guy Manila, who started all this in Boston on BZ, you start realizing the formula. Okay?
Okay, what's
you're
that?
You talking over people as usual, and just because you don't like Breslow or something, you're ignoring what's happening in the city now with these guys.
Okay, you'll tell us.
They bounced back from looking like they were dead several times. They have a 10-game freaking winning streak. They lose a couple of series. They come back and they win a couple of series. And you know what? There wasn't a heck of a lot out there to trade for, and you zero in on a couple of people. Okay. So did everybody else out there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ron. Other teams zeroed in on people, and a lot of those teams got those people. Those people were available. And, yes, we're well aware of the win streak. That's part of
why. It has nothing to do with the trade deadline.
Well, no. In a way, if they hadn't won those, then I might have given them reason to believe they're not that good and they shouldn't invest in this team. They went on a 10-game winning streak that validated their own beliefs that they are a playoff team, a team that can play in October, all these things, and then you didn't bolster that team.
The Yankees got a whole lot better. Blue Jays got better.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle got a whole lot better.
And, and Ron, don't you not have to trust us? Trust. Listen to the baseball people, the Lou Maloney's of the world. You know, what do they say? The people that cover the team, do they like what's the inactivity? They do not.
I believe it was described as an epic fail by somebody who's involved in baseball.
Yep. My goodness, was it an epic fail. coming up on 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we're still awaiting our friend Will Fleming. He'll join us hopefully here in studio at Fenway Park, where we're broadcasting from our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. We'll continue to talk Red Sox, Will Fleming, The Drive, and more in the final hour here at Fenway Park, WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.